What is it, a second or third session? We're getting ready to do our thing here.
Third?
Okay, good. So I hope you guys had a good time. I know when we were out earlier this morning, the day didn't think it was going to be, you know, this pretty. I heard some other guys went back out there later on to the beach, if I'm not mistaken. Everybody enjoy the beach? Yeah, right? Well, again, I know when we departed Atlanta, some of us looked at the forecast, and man, it was kind of like, well, you know, we're there for, you know, for God, so it looks like we're doing a lot of stuff indoors. But again, the same thing, you know, he brought us here, he broke the clouds, and you know, we were able to enjoy the beach. So definitely an amen for that, because I didn't want to go back to Atlanta without, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I felt like a kid again out there on the water for the ones that I got. Huh? For the ones that got in there. So again, we come before the Lord to ask that he may speak to us. Remember, to have that same the same frame of mind that we started out, you know, asking the Lord to speak to us in an individual basis, that we may grow, that we may take this back, that it may change us, and that we keep thinking about exactly each and every word that the Lord is using through Gabe, you know, through the praise, that when we do send up, that again, it's not just words that we're saying or an empty song that we're singing, but that it has some meaning. So let's bow our heads down and ask the Lord to soften up our hearts, to prepare our hearts, that he may be in our midst, and that he may use Gabe in a great way, that he may speak through him, and that he may bring conviction to our hearts, Lord. We come before you in a humble way, and we put ourselves at your footsteps.
Yes.
Asking you and telling you, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Use me. Speak to me. And make me obedient, Lord. Make me obedient. Knowing that we can rebellious even in the state when we do say that we are going to follow you. There's still that flesh that continually fights against our spirit, Lord. And sometimes the flesh wins, Lord. But where you say where sin abounds, the grace is much greater, Lord.
Yes.
And I ask you, Father, that you may fill our cups, and that your grace may be sufficient, and that flesh may be overpowered by the Spirit, by your Holy Spirit, Lord, I beg you. Give us the strength, Lord. Give us the strength to keep persevering. To stay firm in your faith, Lord. To keep pressing on, Lord, even when this world just keeps calling our name and keeps dangling all the pleasures, which are empty pleasures, Lord. Help us see you, Lord. Help us acknowledge you, Father. And let us know that we are in that narrow path, which only a few will cross, Lord. In your son's name I pray. Amen.
Hey, it's good. It's good to sing together. It's so good to hear y'all sing.
And just, oh, what is this Bible?
Whose is this Bible? Here we go. It's good. You know, when we sing, it's an overflow of what's in our heart. You watch Disney movies all the time, and sometimes they're just so enraptured with love for each other, the guy and the girl, that the only thing they can do is just sing to each other, right? And that's how these opportunities are for us and the Lord. We can do, words can't handle it, so sometimes we just sing and we just go for it. And so it's good to be together and to sing to the Lord. We're gonna be in one text for tonight and tomorrow night, the same exact text. And so we're gonna camp out on two verses in one specific chapter in the Bible for tonight and tomorrow night. When I was I think I was probably about 14. I was real close to my cousins. I know a lot of y'all have big families, and y'all are really close. I mean, and that's the same way how I was raised. I was so close to my cousins. We spent all the time together. It was awesome. But two of my cousins I was really close with, Matt and Timmy, and we were about the same age, and we'd do everything together. But one time I went over to their house to spend the night. And so we were going to crash over there and hang out and do our thing. But all of a sudden we got this idea, like, why don't we camp out? Let's camp out outside. It's going to be awesome. So we got a tent. We set it all up. You know, we got snacks. We got, you know, the off bug repellent. You know, we even probably wired a TV out there or something. You know, we're really roughing it, you know. And so we had everything we needed. We had the marshmallows. We had the graham crackers, all that type of stuff. And we stepped back. We're like, man, let's do this thing. And my cousin Matt goes, wait, hold on a second. Like, we're missing the key essential. We are missing the campfire, right? It's not a camp out, so you have a campfire. So we're like, man, we got to do this thing. So we go around the yard, we grab all these little rocks, and we're making this little, you know, ring of fire thing so everything else doesn't catch on fire. We grab some sticks here and there, we pop it in the middle of that. We're ready to go. So Timmy goes inside, grabs a box of matches, and we're ready to light this thing. Nothing happened. Nothing. Just stretching up, you know. Nothing happened. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You throw a match on there, nothing happens. So, you know, Matt and I try the primitive way, you know, getting flints and sparking things, and Matt's over there rubbing sticks together, you know, trying to get something to happen with this fire. Nothing is happening. We're sweating. Man, this is miserable, awful. And Timmy goes, listen, guys, I got this great idea. I should have thought of this earlier. My dad has gasoline in the garage. Great idea, Tim. Go get it. That's awesome. Go get some gas. And so Timmy runs to the garage, comes back with a 42-ounce cup full of gas. Dude, throw it on there. Yeah, we're all excited. Yeah, way to go, Timmy. You're such a genius. And so the guys hand me the box of matches. Like, all right, Gabe, light it up. And they get up, kind of walk away. You know, they're way over here. I'm like, okay, gas. Four matches. The thing is, we're running around. Get the hose, quick! Do something, throw it out, put it, do whatever you can. We're shoveling dirt on it, and you know we're screaming, running around the yard. But the thing is, right under a tree, and it's kissing the limbs above it. Fire everywhere! We're screaming, and so finally we get the thing contained, and we shut the whole thing down. But it was a freaky moment at that time, and I mentioned that story, you know, to kind of kick us off real quick, because in my spiritual life, I saw the same thing happen. I would go to weekends like this. I would come to weekends like this. I would go to camp. You spend a prolonged period of time away from everything else, and you're in the Word of God, and it's like gas on the fire of your heart if you're a Christian in this room. You know what I'm talking about, Christian? You have these weekends where the fire and the passion and the love for the person of God burns so deep in your heart. But then 3 or 4 days later, it just goes straight back down. It's volatile is the word. And I had those moments in my life. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? We all do, Christian. We've all been in those places where we make these commitments and we say, yes, Lord, the fire is going to burn and I'm not going to do this and we're going to do this and I'm going to live my life in this way and I'm never going to do this again. I'm going to hang out with these people and not with these people, all this type of stuff. And we go up and down in our Christian life. And you know what? It's common. It happens to all of us. Every single one of us. And I've been there. And the Bible is very clear tonight in instructing us on how we deal with this issue of this volatile life and what God wants from you, Christian, if you're a Christian in this room. What God is calling you to in this room. The Bible is so clear on it. And he wants to give us clarity on how to have that consistent burning fire of passion and worship to his name. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12 tonight and tomorrow night. So just camp out on this, put a bookmark there. We're going to come back to this tomorrow night and be in the same place. Paul, and let me kind of speed us up where we are. Paul just went through 11 chapters of laying out in the most in the Bible, in the most dense, theologically sound, doctrinal, foundational way of laying out the gospel of Christ and the redemptive plan of God in the first 11 chapters of this book. And so, where we pick up, he just now finishes with basically what we talked about last night, the gospel, how God sent Christ as a substitute to die in our places when we deserve it. And he exalts the mercy of God. And so we're going to pick up in chapter 12, verse 1. We're going to be just in verse 1 tonight, okay? So we're going to camp out there. And if y'all just read that with me. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." I'm going to pray one more time before we jump into this. Lord God, we need your spirit. We need your mind and your heart. I pray, God, for a weight to fall in this room of your majesty, of your supreme glory, and our need for you, Father. Lord, I pray for those in here who maybe tired physically. I pray, God, for energy and focus. I pray, God, that we would just delight as we open your word together and you speak to us, Lord. Change our lives, God, through the power of your word and your spirit. We pray in your name. Amen. The very first word, chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "Therefore." Whenever you see the word "therefore," it connects something. You have to find out, the old saying is, whenever you read the word "therefore," you have to find out what it's there for, okay? So, therefore, Paul is connecting something. As he's pressing us into this next kind of big thought, chapters 12 all the way through the end of the book, we have to connect what Paul is grasping at. So basically, he's reaching behind him and grabbing something and putting it in front of us. And he's saying, because of this, we need to respond like this. But what is this first part? What is the "therefore" speaking of? Go back to chapter 11, verse 33, and it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." Paul is starting this new chapter by saying this. Remember in chapter 11, verse 33 through 36, where I extolled the majesty of God? I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that. Before we step any more into this verse, chapter 12, verse 1, I want you to remember the fact that God himself is the exalted and holy one. We talked about this last night. We talked about it this morning. He is the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth, who compassionately and graciously sent his son to an undeserving race, to a rebellious race, out of no necessity to himself. He sent his son Christ to be slaughtered on a cross that was meant for you and meant for me. And it was fully and wholly grace. We could not earn it. We did not deserve it. And God in his love sent Christ for you and for me. And so Paul's saying, okay, remember this. Remember the gospel. Okay, that's where we're going to start. Because God is this and he has done this, now we can move on into the verse. He says, therefore, because of the mercies of God, because of the majesty of Christ, because of the gospel, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. I want to dissect this verse in a way to where we grab the main subject first, but then we figure out the how. We go to the action after that. So Paul is saying this, therefore, what's the end of the verse? What's the last word? Worship. Because of who he is, our response, worship. He's calling us to an act of worship. Well, what is worship? I wrote down this definition. If you're taking notes, I wrote down this this definition. Here's the definition of worship. It's the unceasing outpouring of our affections, and resources to the praise of someone or something for my joy. Okay, that's a mouthful. I'm going to read it one more time. It's the unceasing outpouring of our affections and resources to the praise of someone or something for my joy. Let me break that down. Let's make it real simple. I love Justin Bieber. I'm just honest. I'm just kidding. But let's pretend we have some Justin Bieber fans in here, okay? If you're a Justin Bieber fan, raise your... No, I'm just kidding. Don't raise your hand. If you're a Justin Bieber fan, what are you going to do? You're going to buy every... You're going to buy the poster. You're going to buy the calendar. You're going to buy the sweatband. You're going to buy the bobblehead. You're going to buy the official Justin Bieber suede jacket. You're going to buy the Bieber shoes, the Bieber socks. You may even buy the Bieber boxers, okay, guys? I mean, if you're a fan, all right? You're going to pour all your resources and affection into this one thing or person because you believe not only that that's going to give that person praise, but because it's going to satisfy you. It's the same thing with Cheez-Its. I love Cheez-Its, right? Yeah, you like Cheez-Its. You're going, oh, Cheez-Its. It's the same thing. I take my money, I go to the store, I buy a box of Cheez-Its, not only because I think the box is colorful and it's nice and I want to give it praise, but because I believe in my heart that it's going to satisfy. That's what worship is. Worship is when we come to this place where we pour our resources, our affection, the deep-seated love of our heart into someone or something for their praise or its praise, Justin Bieber, his praise, and our joy. I want to go to that guy's concert because I want to be satisfied. I want to hear him say, ooh, baby, baby. What is the song? I want to hear him sing that song over me, and I will worship. That's a small picture of worship. And here's what Paul is saying. Listen to what Paul is saying. He's saying, therefore, because of the gospel, because of the rich mercies of God, because the sovereign Lord of the universe has sent his Son to be slaughtered on the cross in your place and in my place, our response to that must be to worship, to pour out the affections, our resources, our talents to His praise and for our joy. Well, Gabe, what do you mean for our joy? We understand the part where we say His praise. The Bible is very clear that the one satisfying thing to the human soul is the person of God. Why? Because He has made us and rigged us this way. There's a quote by a guy named Blaise Pascal. I was trying my hardest to look it up on my phone. I get no service out here. But the gist of it here's what Blaise Pascal says. He says, every human being longs to be satisfied. He says, this is the end for every movement of man. Listen, even of those who hang themselves. Even the person who hangs themselves, they think in their hearts and in their minds, this will satisfy me. This will complete, this will bring contentment if I do. And that's how we are in life. And you know what? In life, we are constantly worshiping. There's no on and off switch with our worship. We are constantly, every moment of our lives, worshiping. And Paul is saying, the only one worthy of your worship and my worship is the person of God. A couple verses that connect these two of God's praise and our joy in this praise. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Your affection. I want to taste. I want to see. And I find out. I realize that the Lord is good. His praise and my joy. Psalm 16:11, in your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The same chapter, Psalm 16:2, he says, O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, and I have no good beyond thee. David is pouring out his affections and his resources to God. And what does he find out? That God alone can satisfy. And that's what Paul is directing us to, church, Christian. This is for the Christian in this room. If you're a Christian, Paul is saying, because of what God has done in your life to redeem you, your response, the natural overflow, the best thing for you is to respond with a life of worship. To bring praise, fame, and glory to God through your affections and your resources. And in result, you receive the most good. And what is that most good? It is God Himself. And so the question now is, Gabe, okay, Gabe, that's great. It's very theological. I see that. But the question is how? Right? How? And we hear these things, and this is where the volatileness comes in. We go up and down. We worship. We don't worship. We worship God. We don't worship. We go up and down this. How do we do it? Put some feet on this for me, Gabe. Look at the verb. Look at the action in this passage. Start at the beginning of verse 1 again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. How do I worship God? How do I worship? Is it just by singing? No. Is it just by, you know, doing the right thing and trying to be sharp at camp and do all these things? No. Paul tells us very plainly. He says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay, what does that mean? It means that we come to a place where we completely yield full control and dominion to the Lordship of God moment by moment in our lives. It's when we are removed from the picture, our plans, our fleshly desires, our dreams, even the desire to live, then and only then do we come into a place where God is receiving full adoration and full, we are fully pouring our affections to Him, and we are receiving the most good. Let me back this up with one passage of Scripture, and then I want to kind of hone this in on each of your lives. Luke 9, 23 and 24. Jesus says this. He says, if anyone should come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Oh, great. That sounds like a lot of fun, Jesus. I want to take up my cross and follow after you. But listen to what he says after that. He says, for whoever tries to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Do you see it? It's when we come to this point of complete submission to God, when we fully find joy and satisfaction. We're crying out over and over again in our lives, I want to be satisfied. I want to be satisfied. And to be honest with you, give me your eyes. To be honest with you, a lot of us lay ourselves on so many other altars than the one altar that will truly bring us satisfaction. And there's some of you in this room, you are seeking satisfaction. You've been looking over and over, and there is no joy in your life. Some of you guys, you have laid yourself, you have sacrificed your body on the altar of Facebook. The altar of Facebook, what does that mean? Your affections, your resources, your time, you stay up late hours of the night so that you can, with your body, with your physical eyes, pry them open and so you can keep up with everybody and make sure you're updating your status. You have thrown yourself onto the altar of Facebook. And can I tell you, in the end, it will not satisfy you. Some of you guys have thrown yourself onto the altar of relationships. And you say, therefore, because of the mercies of God, I'm a Christian. I've been saved. I've been redeemed. I'm going to bring God worship, but I'm going to come to camp, but I'm actually going to be a worshiper of relationships. I'm going to find and seek my satisfaction in relationships. And you would do anything to meet that guy or meet that girl that's going to complete you. And you think in your mind that person will satisfy me. I'm going to pour out my resources, my affection. I'm going to sacrifice my body. I'm going to work out. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to make myself look good all the time so I can find that one person. And you know what? We end up worshiping relationships rather than worshiping the God who has purchased you. Some of y'all, you've thrown your body on the altar of sports. I was there. I did it. Day in, day out, training, working hard, doing everything I can. And it wasn't just because It wasn't just because my coach told me to. It was because I loved the game. I worshipped the game. I worshipped it. I worshipped my body. I wanted to look a certain way. I wanted to train. And Paul was saying, Gabe, therefore, God has purchased you. You've been redeemed. Worship belongs to Him. That's the only thing that's going to satisfy you. But you're throwing your body on the altar of sports. And you know what? It will not satisfy you. Some of you, as foolish as it says, you've thrown your body on the altar of technology. That sounds ridiculous. But every new update, iPad, iPhone, I this, I that, you know, I'm waiting for them to come out with their own vehicle line. You know, they're going to have everything. But everything technology, you're so geared that way and so rigged that way that you have thrown your body into a place. You say, I've just got to work this many hours so I can save up this amount of money and I can have this one thing. You're worshiping it and I'm going to be satisfied by that. Some of y'all, maybe it may be a little more innocent of things. You've thrown your body on the altar of work. Maybe it's the altar of family. And you say, well, my spiritual response to the grace of God in my life is to worship my family and I'll be satisfied. And you do everything you can to keep connected with family and to do all these things with family and to build solid relationships. And those things are good within themselves. But they are not to be the center of the outpouring of our affections and our resources and our bodies. Some of you, you've thrown yourself on the altar of yourself. Some of you have so much pride. And you have exalted yourself in the place of God that you almost feel like Paul should rewrite this and say, therefore, because of the grace that I have bestowed upon myself and others, that all worship should be given to me. And you know what? You worship yourself. And your heart is so full of pride. And you judge other people. And you're constantly looking down on those who are different from you. And you think that's going to satisfy you. Christian, that is not your desire. Some of you have thrown yourself on the altar of sin, of pornography. You say, if I just put myself on this altar, I'll be satisfied. And you bring no worship to God. Because you have sacrificed your body for yourself and your own pleasures, instead of for the greatness of God, the one thing that will truly satisfy you. What's your God? That's what this comes down to. What is your God? Where is your worship directed? Because see, Christian, in this room, the Christian whose life is directed and honed in a true life of worship, a life that is a living sacrifice before God, bears the fruit of holiness and righteousness. It bears the fruit of kindness and compassion and love. And the result is not simply that we cast ourselves on an altar and allow God to just have what He wants and just slaughter us. But He promises our joy in return. In His presence is fullness of joy. And it almost comes down to this one word. The life of worship is a life that says, God, whatever. God, you, as long as I have you, as long as I have you, I am satisfied. It's like marriage vows, for rich or for poor. God, I'm yours. And I'm satisfied. God, in sickness and in health, whichever one you choose, God, I'm yours. God, whether you want me to live or you want me to die, God, I'm yours because I am fulfilled because I have you. God, whether I live in Georgia or God, you send me to Ghana to spread this gospel. God, whatever. The life of worship is a life that lays at the feet of God, surrenders complete dominion to Him, and just says, God, with a smile on my face and the joy in my heart because I have you, whatever. Whatever. What do you want from me? Let me ask you a couple questions and we're done. and I want you to think about these. You may want to write them down, but I want you to hone in and ask yourselves these questions. We're constantly, remember I said this, we are constantly worshiping. There is no on and off switch. We are constantly worshiping. The question is, what are you worshiping? Are you presenting yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God? Here's question number one. What causes you to worry or stress? Just think about that. What causes you to worry or stress? That can be a very revealing thing as to what your God is. Here's another one. What is a win for you? What's a win? Is it getting the next job promotion? Is it getting straight A's in school? Is it making the soccer team? What is a win for you? Here's one. Where does most of your money go? Do you pour it into things of this world? Do you pour it into things that you think will satisfy you? Or do you have that heart of worship where you just say, God, here's my money, or whatever? What makes you angry? That's very revealing as to what our God is sometimes. Maybe it's she said this, he said that. Maybe it's a rumor floating around. Maybe it's because I can't have this or I can have this. What is it that makes you angry? Is it a zeal? Is it a hunger for the things of God to be upheld in the earth? Is it for his gospel to be spread? This is the last question. I just want you to ask yourself this. If you can have heaven with all your friends, if you can have heaven with all your friends, all the food you want, all the sports you want to play, all the latest technology, all the cars, all the houses you want, you can have all the money you want, all the pleasures of life, no sickness, no cancer, no death. If you can have all this and Jesus was not there, would you be satisfied? That's a tough question. Because honestly, give me your eyes. For a lot of us in this room, we would answer yes. Why? Because we have cast our bodies as a living sacrifice on the altar of this world. And we have forgotten the gospel. We have forgotten Romans chapter 1 through 11. And tonight, God is calling you, Christian. If you're a Christian in this room, God is calling us to a place of repentance. And this isn't just another volatile moment in our lives. The fire goes up, the fire goes down. He's calling you tonight to repent, to turn from those things, to take those things, whether in your mind, your heart, whether they're physical things, whatever they might be, but to set them before the Lord and say, God, that's it. My heart is for you. My affections, my resources, all I am, whatever, but it's for you. This is my worship. This is my declaration. And Christian, there are a lot of us in this room tonight. This is a moment of repentance. Because you have gone after the things of this world. And you have made yourself a living sacrifice for everything other than the one who not only deserves it, but the one who can actually satisfy you. His name is Jesus. There's two groups in this room tonight. We're done. There are those of you in here that are Christians. You are followers of Christ. And you say, Gabe, I have, that's me. That's me tonight. And tonight, you need to repent. You need to turn. What's repent mean? It was just turn back. He's right there. He's waiting for you. He's like, I'm enough. I'm the bread of life. I'm the living water. I will satisfy. And he is waiting for you, Christian. To stop piddling around, as C.S. Lewis says, to stop piddling around with the mud puddles of the world. Simply because we cannot imagine a holiday at the sea. We had that today. But so many of you in this room, you're piddling around with the mud puddles of this world, and you're trying to be satisfied. And you need to repent. And be satisfied. The other group in here tonight, you're not a Christian. You don't know the Lord. You're not walking with Christ. You've rejected Him your entire life. And tonight, I say the same thing to you that I said last night. That there is a God who out of His grace sent His Son to be slaughtered in our place. And we would put our faith in Him and be brought to life. And we would be able to taste and to see that the Lord is good. Some of you are lost in here. And you've never tasted of satisfaction. You've not only been in mud puddles, but you've been just face first suffocated by the mud puddles. And there is a holiday at the sea. There is a God. There is a Savior who is more than enough for you and who will satisfy you. Let's pray together. Let's bow our heads. We'll pray. We'll be done. The first group, if you're a Christian in this room, you say, Gabe, tonight, that's me. I need to repent because my worship has been directed elsewhere. And I have been seeking satisfaction in everything of this world. And every time I come up empty. And I'm tonight, I want to repent and I want to remember the gospel, and I want to return, and I want to be satisfied. Christian, if that's you in this room, would you look at me? You should open your eyes and you look at me. You know, we all go through this. If you can keep your eyes closed. If your eyes aren't open, keep them closed. But if you are looking at me, look at me. We all go through this. I've been walking with the Lord for 10 years, and I struggle with it all the time. But these are the reminders, these moments, where the satisfaction that is in God is revealed again to us all. And we are called to repent, to return, and to delight ourselves in God. And in delighting in Him, we bring Him worship. His heart for you tonight is to stop piddling around with things that will never, ever satisfy you. And to return to the one thing, the one single thing that is deserving of your life and that can satisfy your life. Let me pray for those who are looking at me. Let's pray here. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in here, Lord, who have been bought by Christ. And Lord, tonight they have confessed their need to repent, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that this moment would be real in their lives, that God, you would help us by the power of your Spirit and of your Word to return, Father, and to remember, Lord, that you alone satisfy. There's a second group in here. I know there are a few of you. There's a second group in here. And you say, Gabe, I'm never satisfied. I've never fully given my heart, my life. I've never submitted my life under the compassionate and kind, loving laws of God. And I need Christ. I need Christ to redeem my heart. to make me a new creation and to satisfy the longing of my heart. And I need to be saved. I want to taste and I want to see that the Lord is good. If that's you tonight, would you look at me? My prayer for every one of you in this room is that day by day, more and more, you would see that the world is a place of fleeting promises and fleeting pleasures. And you would grasp more and more the majesty and the satisfaction of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. We need you. We exalt your name. Thank you for your word. We praise this in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. You good?
I don't know about you guys, but Gabe's kind of been hitting the proverbial nail on the head with this one, too. He kind of pretty much went straight to, I know my heart, that whole which altar are you serving? I don't know if you found yourself in one category or in several. That being said, I mean, if that's not challenging, where exactly is it that you guys are focusing on? And believe me, we are all focusing on something.
That's right.
And if you're not, you're lying to yourself. So, believe we have hamburgers for tonight, if I'm not mistaken, right? And after that, we're going to chill again, right? Or is there another activity or anything that happened? Okay. I did want to take, if I get a chance, not whenever you guys get a chance to take a picture of this, when I was sitting in the back, I realized that this is kind of like a little church, dude. I don't know if you guys have noticed that, but it's like a little church. And the setting, we're like in a neighborhood or whatever. And the funniest thing is like, you guys are the future of Mount Zion.
No. No, they are. They are Mount Zion.
Oh,
they're not the future. They are the church. They don't have to turn 18, 21, 30 to be part of the church. Yeah. They are the church.
So, with that being said, guys, again, you know, I sat back in wonder and in awe to see each and every one of you guys in here. So, if I may ask Adriana to lead us in prayer, please. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand up, please.
God, we stand in awe. We stand in awe of you because you are great. You are mighty. You are the most excellent thing our hearts have ever known, oh God. And that our hearts will ever know.
Yes.
And I pray right now, God, I pray in the name of the Holy Son of Jesus Christ that every eye in this room will be opened up to your excellency, oh God. Yes. For as we saw tonight, Lord, it is not until we see how great and how awesome and how mighty and how everything that you are that we will put our lives, put our every being, put our souls, put our bodies on the altar for you, God. So I pray right now, God, that you captivate our hearts today with who you are, God. Make us to see your great worth, O Lord. Make us to see who you are, Lord. And then we will worship you as you are worthy to be worshiped, O Lord. I thank you, God. I thank you that you call us to repentance, O Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we can turn, Father. And truly, Lord, we turn towards you.
Yes,
Lord. And we don't just turn towards you. We run towards you, Lord God. We run towards you in this night, Lord Jesus, because there is nothing else for us. And we make that decision in our hearts, Lord, because we belong to you, to the God who has purchased us with his blood. And we, God, are the ones who can see you. And therefore, we give our lives to you in worship, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, O Lord. Blessed be your mighty name. Oh, you are holy, Lord. You are precious. Young people, you can open your mouth and you can praise your God. And if he puts it in your heart right now, let's just take this moment. Open your mouth and speak to him and tell him how great he is. Thank you for this night. We will continue to bless your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.